All right, let's get off into a word of prayer, and we're going to get right into the lesson. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. We thank you right now, Lord God, for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you right now, Lord God, hallelujah, for your son Jesus who died on the cross for our sins, Lord God, that we might walk in the newness of life. And we thank you right now, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, for this school and what these last 2 years have meant for us, Lord God, the growth, the revelation, the understanding, the information, Lord God, that we've received. We thank you, Lord God, that we're going to take everything that we've learned in these last 2 years, Lord God, and apply it to our lives. And we just give you all the praise and all the glory, knowing that, Lord God, this is not the end, but it's the beginning of a new phase, another level, another step in the directions that you want us to take, Lord God. And we thank you right now, Lord God, for the apostle, Lord God, and for the anointing on his life, Lord God, being a visionary, Lord God, hallelujah, being, Lord God, hallelujah, a barrier breaker, Lord God. We just thank you right now, Lord God, for what you have entrusted him with, Lord God, and for the mantle that's on his life, Lord God. And we've had an opportunity, Lord God, to partake of that, Lord God. We count it a privilege and an honor, Lord God, hallelujah, to sit under such an anointing, Lord God, hallelujah, and to be taught, Lord God, with such clarity and accuracy, Lord God. We thank you right now for this school, and Lord God, we just honor you, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, that we're going to be men and women of honor, Lord God, walking in integrity, Lord God, walking in the anointing, Lord God, and doing everything that you've called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Before I get started, I just want to, number one, just let each and every one of you know it's been a privilege and an honor to serve in this capacity as an instructor. And I just trust that, you know, the things we've learned and things that we've taught over the last year has been an inspiration and a blessing to you. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I just want you to know that, like I said, this is not the end by no means. It's just another page. Another step, another, God is launching you in new directions, praise God. And one of the things I always tell students, stay connected, you know, to your pastor, to your man or your woman of God, those who are watching online, you know, connection is everything. Believe it. I'm telling you what I know, because it's like I said, when you cut a branch off of a tree, the leaves are going to look the same color immediately, and they're going to have the same vitality. But immediately, once that limb is disconnected from the branch, it's dying. Yes. You know, so you want to stay, have a fresh flow of anointing constantly pumped in and pouring into your life. Amen. Amen. All right, what we're going to do today, we're going to finish up. We were like around, I guess, around page 154, and we were talking about how to reap honors, reward, a harvest of honor seed sown, how to build honor. And we gave you seven different aspects of building honor. I think we might have covered the first three or four. We talked about being called. We talked about being commissioned. We talked about being competent. And I think the last aspect we talked about was conduct, or having a good conduct. And we're gonna continue from that one and then move on and just, you know, finish all seven of them. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, we said that the fourth way to build honor was to have good conduct. One of the things that the Samuel did when God put him in the position that he was placed in, he said, Lord, give thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge thy so great a people? So here he's saying, you know, give me an understanding heart. We need wisdom. Wisdom, as we know, is the principal thing. and to be able to know and to rightly divide the word, and especially even when you're ministering to people, you need the wisdom of God to like he said, to know good from evil, to know right from wrong, to know how to discern properly when somebody their motives are wrong. You know, a lot of times people they may, for whatever reason, everything may look just hunky dory with them, but on the inside they have wrong motives. And that's why it's so very important to say, Lord, give me an understanding heart that I may know how to judge thy people. It is very important that we ask God for the spirit of discernment, that we can discern properly. You know, that God can show us the underlying thing, even though things may look pretty on the surface, but we need to know, Lord God, I want to be able to discern this thing properly. And that's so very important. We're going to move on to the next one. Maintaining continuity is the fifth area of building honor. When you maintain continuity, in these electrical circuits, there's wires behind the walls, and every circuit connects to a circuit breaker, and the wires continue. And anytime you open or you disconnect the wiring, you have an open circuitry, and the continuity is cut off, so the power cannot get to the source. You know, we want to maintain continuity in ministry. So that the power and that the anointing and that all that God wants to accomplish will continue to flow. What God started on the day of Pentecost with the apostles, when he told them not to leave Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. And the church age started. Once they got filled with the Holy Spirit, they went out and began to preach the gospel. You have Peter, you have John, you have James, and all the apostles. And throughout all the ages, you know, there's been a continuation of God's blessing, of God's anointing, a growth in the church. And in this dispensation and in this time that we're living in, we want to continue with the continuity of what we've been taught by our man of God, by our apostle, and stay in the same vein and stay in the same flow and never lose that continuity by letting something short circuit the power and disconnect the flow. The fifth way to build honor is to maintain continuity, keeping the process of ministry flowing and moving towards that God, through your man of God, has already started. In 2 Timothy 4 and 2, it says to preach the word, to be constant in season and out of season, to rebuke, reprove, rebuke, exalt with all long suffering and doctrine. Preaching the word, being instant, you know, as ministers and people involved in the ministry of health, we have been given the assignment to be stewards of the word of life, you know, and it's our job to continue to press on. Give you an example. The apostle's been teaching on health, you know. It's our job to take the principles that we are learning, you know, and that he's teaching, and to pass that information on to those who need it, to minister to those who have, you know, problems in their bodies. Because what we're doing, we're not letting that anointing, we're not letting that vision, we're not letting that flow just drop. You know, for so long in ministry in the past. You might have a pastor who God called to be a pastor of a church, a local congregation, and he will minister 50, 60 years, you know. But once he's off the scene, there was nobody to continue to carry the torch. Somebody else came on the scene with a different vision or a different agenda, and the church went in a completely different direction. And what he started didn't continue. It didn't progress. Well, see, that's not going to happen at Word of Life, because it's so very important that continuation stays there. What the apostles started in Jerusalem must continue and increase, and those who are called must become obedient and submitted to the faith by answering the call of ministry. And I want to, a key verse of scripture I want to center on, because it's really the foundation of this ministry, and I want you to take note of it, and that's Acts 6 and 7. It says, "And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith." It said that the word of God increased. When you talk about a continuation, that's something that's constantly moving. The word of God is constantly moving and it's increasing. And it said that the number of the disciples multiplied. In other words, you know, at the day of Pentecost, there were 2,000-3,000 people who were born again. But then there were also those, the Bible says, who became obedient to the faith, priests, people who took up the priesthood, or God called them into the ministry, and they took up the mantle and continued what the apostles had started, you know, a continuation. So it says the word of God increased and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests, those people, not just necessarily the fivefold ministry, but they were always the supportive ministries that was there to undergird that fivefold ministry. Now, what the apostles started in Jerusalem, it needs to increase. Acts 20 and 28 says, "To take heed therefore of yourselves and to all the flock of God, which the Holy Ghost has made thee an overseer, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood." Ministers and minister of helps workers need to understand the importance of continuity, or continuation of a generational anointing. And I want to pause there. A generational anointing is an anointing that's carried forward throughout the generations. It just doesn't die when the visionary goes home to be with the Lord. That anointing continues. It's a generational. It's passed on from one generation to the next. You know, so what you're learning and have learned in this school is being passed on to you. And it's your responsibility. You're now actually becoming stewards of it. To pass the things that you've learned over the last 2 years, to pass it on into your churches that you go to the people that you come in contact with, because now you've made you become a steward of that generational blessing. Probably one of the best examples in the Bible of somebody who carried that torch and passed it on, and we talked about him last couple of weeks, was Elijah and Elijah. You know, he followed his man of God, and he continued right once he went up to heaven. He picked up that mantle and he hit the waters and smote them, you know, and walked over on dry ground. And he did exactly twice as many miracles. Elijah did twice as many miracles as Elijah. You know, but he followed Elijah for over 20 something years. And he was the man that poured water on Elijah's hand. In other words, he served him. And so he kept that generational anointing, and what he had learned, now he's able to teach others also. And that's so very important. You know, so you're not just here. A lot of times people, they grow in the things of God, and they get built up and mature, but what's on the inside of them never comes out. You know, it's so very important now to release what God has placed on the inside of you. You know, it's not something for you just to grab and to hold for yourself. It's to be shared, it's to be ministered, when I graduated from the School of Ministry some 23 years ago, or whenever the charter class was, not very long, probably a couple of months after, I got called into prison ministry, you know, and it's been a progression ever since. You know, God, you know, from one step and one level to the next, you know, the anointing and God is always on the move, you know, He's never stagnated. The anointing is never stagnated. It's constantly moving, just like a river. Rivers that don't move, there's no oxygen. There's very little oxygen there. My wife and I, we have several fish tanks, and it's so very important to aerate the fish tank, have moving water, whether it's using an air stone, putting air in the water, or having pumps circulating, because it produces oxygen in the water, which helps produce life to the fish, keeps the water clean. Well, the anointing is constantly moving. God is constantly moving. So there's constantly a refreshing. There's constantly a regeneration, a growth that's taking place. Anything that's not moving is dying. Anything that's not moving is dying. So you want to constantly continue to allow the anointing and allow what God's doing in your life be a continuation. Amen. Any good father always wants their children to take the torch of ministry and advance it further than they could. They now begin to build upon the foundations or the foundation that their father had laid, carrying on. This is this key word here, carrying on the legacy and building upon the foundation of their father for the next generation. Let me read that again. Any good father always wants their children to take the torch of ministry and advance it further than they could. They now begin to build upon the foundation that their father has laid, carrying on the legacy and building upon the foundation of their father for the next generation. That's so very important. God is a God of multi-generations. In fact, the most consistent, successful financial dynasties in the world can be attributed to generational vision, planning, strategies, and a commitment to adhere to those goals and plans. And I have in parentheses, they have, don't let the vision die. Continue to see there's always more. There's always more. And that's so very important that we understand that we have to continue to carry that torch, and you don't want to reinvent the wheel. A lot of times, it seems like ministers have to start over or go back to square one, and you lose ground that way. It should be, take for instance, if a father had a business, say he had a computer business, and after so long, he turns that business over to the son. Well, that son should, through his years of watching and learning and studying and being with his father, know how to continue to keep that business going and believe God for insight to begin to expand that business. It's a terrible thing when something is passed on that the next generation can't sustain it because they didn't take the time to sit, to listen, and to learn and to grow and first of all have that vision instilled on the inside of them. Whatever church, whatever ministry that you're a part of, that vision has got to be on the inside of you so that you can continue to carry that vision on to the next generation. It blesses me when I see young men and young women coming up taking that torch and taking that mantle and grabbing hold of it and getting hooked up and finding their place in ministry. Because that one of the things the apostle is just so adamant about is training up the next generation. I see him take time with young teenagers and young adults because he know that the future of ministry is in the hands of the young or the next generation. One of the worst things we could do is to not to, pass on what God has instilled on the inside of us. Amen. All right, let's move on. The sixth way to build honor. And see, all of this, when we're talking about building honor, we're talking about when these things are done, honor is produced. And you say, well, how does that build honor in me? Well, when people can look back years and years, and even when somebody is off the scene and their books are still being sold, and people are still being blessed and being set free, and the vision has expanded and things have grown. You know, instead of having 4,000 people, now the ministry is 8,000 or 10,000. Well, that's letting me know that that brings honor to the visionary, because the legacy is being passed on and the flame and the torch is being carried on with honor. Because honor is something that never dies. It is always there as a testimony of what you've done and what you're doing, and that you have passed it on, and that it has expanded from that point. Amen. Let's move on. Like I said, the sixth way is being confident. The sixth way to build honor is you must be confident. And one of the things I want to say about being confident, sure, the author talks about self-confidence. And yeah, we do need self-confidence, and that takes us so far. But in ministry, our confidence must be in God. You know, our confidence and our trust must be in Him. You know, not to rely on our own ability or our own strength, you know, but to rely upon Him. Because He is our confidence. He is our strength. Amen. And that's so very important. In 1 John 3:21-22, it says, "Beloved, if our hearts condemn us, then we have confidence towards God." Not ourselves. We have confidence towards God. "And whatsoever we ask, we know of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this thing, that He which begun a good work in you will continue to perform it until the day of Christ." So your confidence is in the fact that He which had begun a good work in you will continue to perform it. You know, my confidence is in the fact that, Lord, when I got saved years ago, what you instilled in me, I know as I stay connected to you, my confidence is in the fact that I know you will continue to perform what you started in me. You know, what God has started and the fire and the flame that's been ignited on the inside of you, your confidence is in the fact that God will continue to perform that which concerned you until the day of Christ. Amen. The sixth way, as I said, is having our confidence, and it's an unshakable confidence. This has to do with our faith. Confidence and faith run hand in hand. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For they that come unto God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Just because every successful ministry, there's a confidence that they have, that they know that God, if you said it, I know that you're able to perform it. You know, whatever God has spoken to your heart, God is able to perform it. And your confidence should be in the fact that I know that God will continue to lead me and guide me in the way that He wants me to go. And with that, I want to also make strong illustrations the importance of knowing how to hear the voice of God. In ministry, it is very vital to know God's voice and to obey His voice when he speaks to you. Because the Bible says that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And that God will lead us and He will guide us by and through our spirits. So it's very important that every step we take, every direction we're going in is a Spirit-led direction, is a God-guided direction. Now, not of our own will. You know, what people get into problems is that when they start doing things because of their own will. Jesus said, "Lord, not my will." Nevertheless, first He said, "Lord, if there's any other way, you know, that this cup can pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done." You know, so his confidence was in God's will being done. And he knew that this was the Father's will. And it's so very important to fulfill the will of God for your life. You will never be satisfied. You will never be content. You will never be happy until you begin to see the will of God being manifested in your life. Because, you know, the anointing that's on your life is really not for you. It's for other people. And as you begin to let the Lord use you and allow that anointing to flow through you, there's always going to be an area of emptiness and unfulfillment, because God has placed something in you and you have not fulfilled it, you know. But I know that's not going to be the case. You're going to fulfill the will of God for your life. Amen. Glory. Those called into ministry must possess supernatural confidence. You know, supernatural. Our confidence is not in our own ability, but our confidence must rest in the fact that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens and empowers us. Our confidence is not in our own ability, but our confidence must rest in the fact that we can do all things through Christ, who strengthens us and who also empowers us. You know, who God calls, he will equip, he will empower. Paul says in Philippians 3:3, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh," or have no confidence in our own ability. 2 Thessalonians 3:4 says, "And we have confidence in the Lord, not in ourselves, touching you, that ye both do that will be the things which we command you." Now, this was what Paul was saying here. So we have confidence in the Lord, touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. Now, our confidence in that, you're gonna do that. You're gonna fulfill the purpose and the plan of God for your life. Confidence is in the Lord. That's why it is so important to yield your members unto God. In Hebrews 3:6, it says, "But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are ye? If ye hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm until the end." Hebrews 3:14 says, "For we are made partakers of Christ, if ye hold the beginning our confidence steadfast until the end." God will do what he said he will do. And one scripture, a very pivotal scripture, Hebrews 10:35-36. It says, "To cast not therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you will receive the promise." It says not to cast away your confidence, you know, because you have need of patience. A lot of people think, you know, that things happen so quickly, but sometimes God is doing a work in you, and it takes a process of time for him to develop you, for maturity to take place, so that you can, when the time is right, you'll be able to execute properly. And that's where the development stage come in. But at the same time, there's a patience that has to be done, you know, where you operate in patience and never get over anxious. I see too many people get over anxious in ministry, chomping at the bit to be in front of a crowd or be in front of people. But you know, one of the things I've learned is that, Lord, when you're ministering to people, you're pouring out your heart, but at the same time, what you're saying is bouncing back at you, you know, because you need to be living what you're saying. It needs to be manifested in your life. In other words, what you live in need to be speak more volumes than what you're saying, because it's one thing to say something, but it's another thing for that to be a part of your life. So when people see your life, they see what you're saying. The apostle is a perfect example. You know, what he's saying, he's living. You know, it's like, you know, I'm not just talking about prosperity. I am prosperous. You know, it's, I'm not waiting for it to arrive. It has arrived. You know, I'm not talking health. God has blessed me with health and he showed me how to maintain my health. So he's not speaking from book knowledge. He's speaking from experience. And that's where that patience, where you're waiting upon God and God is maturing you and he's getting you ready for what he's called you to do. And sometimes we think, Lord, I'm ready. One thing I've learned about ministry, there should always be an element of fear or of reverence. You know, Lord, I'm I don't think I can do this, but I know I'm trusting you because I know if I've been placed in the assignment, I know, God, you've thought enough of me and you've entrusted me to do it, you know, but I'm not doing it in my own ability. I'm doing it in your strength. You know, the one thing I never want to do is to get comfortable in ministry. Never get comfortable. What I mean by that is to where you feel like you're adequate or that because you never arrive. You're always constantly moving forward. And there's always more. It's never where you reach a state of contentment. You never want to be content. You want to be content in yourself and content in Christ, but constantly moving forward and constantly striving for excellence in everything that you do. And it says here in Hebrews 10:35-36 again, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Remember, if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will. You need to believe in yourself. And the reason why you do, because your confidence is in God. When Peter walked out on the water, he walked out on the word of God that Jesus spoke. Come. Peter asked, bid the Lord, Lord, can I come out? And the Lord says, come. And on that word, Peter's confidence was kindled to the fact where he walked on water. Now he looked and when he began to look at the circumstances, he took his eyes off of Jesus. But as long as he was focused on Jesus, he walked on water. But it was the thing about it, his confidence was in the words that were spoken by God, by Jesus. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. If ye live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That's Galatians 5:22-25. We need individuals who know how to control their appetites. Now we're talking, I just stepped over into the seventh area, which is how to maintain or how to exercise self-control in ministry that builds honor. Knowing how to not let our bodies, our minds, our emotions rule us, but being spirit-led, being spirit-directed, and like I said, know how to hear the voice of God, and always be in total self-control. And when I say self-control, I really should be saying I'm spirit-led control, you know, and that's so very important because the enemy will always try in any kind of way to discredit or to bring a reproach to the ministry. Never allow him to disavow you. You know, when you're disavowed, it's kind of like you've been, you know, it's almost like you've been court-martialed or you've been rejected because of something that you've done because you didn't maintain self-control. You didn't do what Galatians 5:22-25 says, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, temperance. You know, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. In other words, you mortified it, or you're not allowing the flesh or the dictates of the flesh and the affections and the lust thereof to cause you to do something that's going to cause you not to be in self-control or to control the flesh, control the appetites, control the temptations that are out there. And that's so very important. 1 Corinthians 9:25-27 says, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it for to obtain a corruptible crown, but we for an incorruptible. Paul says, I therefore run, not uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So here Paul is saying, you know, those who strive for ministry, or those who are striving for mastery, he said, it's temperate in all things. He says, but they that do it, some do it for a corruptible crown, but we're doing it for an incorruptible crown. Then he goes on to say, he says, therefore run not as uncertainty, as one just beating the air or shadow boxing. But then he says, but to keep your body under. Keep your body under subjection. He says, but I keep under my body and bring it to subjection. In other words, my spirit man is in control. Excuse me. I'm not allowing my flesh or the dictates of my flesh to lead me in areas that I know I don't need to be in. And that's so very important. And that, you know, in those areas, you're maintaining self-control. You're keeping the flesh under control. You're keeping the mind, and that's so very important. One thing we've learned in the last several months, what the apostle has been teaching on the soul. You know, how important the soul is. How important it is to renew our minds to the Word. And a lot of times, even though our spirits, which is perfect and in tune with God, but if our soul hasn't been renewed and restored and we constantly are building and putting the Word in our hearts, well then the body will side in with the unrenewed mind and take control over ourselves. And it's so very important that our souls be constantly, you know, and that's why the Bible says to write the Word on tablets and write it on doorposts. In other words, keep the Word before you. It's, you know, one of the things we're doing, and a lot of you are part of it, you know, we have our daily devotions. That's constantly keeping the Word before you. You know, reading a chapter a day. That's putting God's Word, you know, letting it absorb on the inside of you. And sometimes you say, well, I really, you know, I understood it. But believe me, when you need it, those scriptures come back up. Because, you know, what you're doing now is you're giving God something to work with. When you're in a challenge or in a situation, all of a sudden now something you read a year ago or 2 years ago, but you took the time to put it in your spirit, and now the Holy Spirit can draw it back out, you know, and all of a sudden you say, wow, I didn't remember, I didn't even think I remember that scripture. Well, you put it on the inside of you, and the Holy Spirit now draw it back out, and now you have ammunition against the enemy. You know, and that's so very important. And that'll help you maintain self-control. That'll help you maintain. And that, along with knowing how to be led by the Spirit of God. There have been times in my life when, you know, in my younger years, and even now, where temptation will come and will try to raise his ugly head up at you. But all of a sudden, God began to, you know, the Bible says, with every temptation, there's going to always be a way of escape. And always look for that avenue and say, Lord, okay, how are you going to see me through this situation? My trust is in you. And that's so very important, because you don't want to bring a reproach to the ministry. You know, you don't want to bring a reproach to your pastor or to what God has done in your life. You know, I've seen too many people fall because of not knowing how to maintain self-control, not knowing how to discern good from evil and how to shun evil, you know, and run to, and you know, one of the things I tell people, I have no problem putting my tennis shoes on and running away from evil. You know, the Bible says to shun it. You know, I'm kind of harping on that because that's an area where Satan has you know, caused a lot of ministers and a lot of people to fall, you know. But when you walk in the Spirit, and you spend time with God, you know, the Bible says when you walk in the Spirit, you will not partake of the lust of the flesh. You know, because your mind is focused upon things above, not on earthly things. And your mind is being renewed with the Word of God. And like I said, and God will always speak to your heart. He'll always speak to your heart. Amen. And he will always lead you in the way that you should go. Let me give you an illustration here with Jesus. Once we develop this kind of these kind of individuals who know how to maintain self-control, who know how to walk in continually, to how to be confident and in the things of ministry. Once we develop these kind of individuals in ministry, we have entered the process of sowing the seed of honor, because everything you do from that point on now is sowing honor, because you've built yourself up in so many areas, to the point where now, Lord God, everything I do now is I'm sowing honor. Jesus, everything he did, he sowed honor to the Father. Everything he did, he says, I don't do anything except what I see my Father do. You know, what I hear is what I say. You know, when God told Jesus to go here, he went there. When God told him to do this, he did that. He says, I only do what I hear my Father say. You know, and by doing that, he's constantly giving honor to God. You know, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, it says here, when Jesus came as a gift, he came as an honor seed. This was his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. You know, when you get to the point, Lord God, you know, even though you might have your plans, your dreams and your visions, but God says, I want you to do this. I want you to undergird your man of God in this capacity. I want you to operate in this kind of business to bring glory to God. Then when you say, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. You know, there were times when, you know, even on my job, I got, you know, offers to go in sales or to do other things, you know, and I was all excited about, you know, the opportunity. I'll never forget this. I did a presentation. I think I shared it before. And I was going back to my rental car, and the guy gave me his card. He says, I can use you in my Kansas region. You know, and I was saying, wow, you know, and I was just all, you know, self was all puffed up. And all of a sudden, as I was going back to the rental car, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and says, I didn't call you to Kansas. You know, I called you right here to Darrell. You know, I've never turned. My decision has never turned on that, you know. And I remember, and it's those things that God speak to your heart that you sometimes it's good to replay that tape or to replay those instances where God spoke to you about what he was going to do or what he's called you to do. You know, he's never changed his mind on those things. Don't let nothing sway you or cause you to drift away from what God initially told you. And sometimes when people do stray away and drift away, one of the things I tell them to do, go back and do the last thing God told you to do. And you say, well, I'm not going anywhere. I feel like I'm standing still. Well, the reason why you're standing, you feel like you're standing still or you're stagnated is because you haven't done or completed the last thing God told you to do. Because God is not obligated to bless what he didn't ordain. Amen. You know, the Bible says what? Except the Lord build a house, they that labor, labor in vain. You know, so, you know, make sure that whatever you do, that the Lord is building that house, that you got his hand on it. And if it's not producing, you know, after so long, say, Lord, what's up? You know, what am I doing wrong? Maybe there was a step somewhere that I a misstep that I took. Don't be afraid to back up and go back to you know, three or four steps down the process and pick up something that you thought, you know, you had already had. No, you know, because your blessing and your promotion is going to be left where God instructed you to be. You know, if I would have left and went to Kansas, I wouldn't be standing here right now. I'd be off pursuing my own dreams, my own visions, and not fulfilling the will of God for my life. You know, and that's so very important. I know when my wife and I first got married, we went to a brother's house, we went there to kind of get some direction. He was kind of a mentor for a period of time, and I never forget. He says, "I just feel like the Lord wanted me to buy you guys two bags of groceries and send you back towards Alexandria." I kind of looked at my wife, and she looked at me, and that wasn't registered in our spirit. And we said, "Thank you. You know, we'll see you." And we got up and we left, and 'cause we knew God. For some, and this was years before we were even members of Word of Life, but we just knew this is where we needed to be. You know, her job places, the times that, you know, when she interviewed, they wanted to send her here or there, you know, and she said, "No, I just feel like this is where we need to be." You know, nothing is more important than you fulfilling the will of God for your life. Nothing is more important. Don't let nothing sidetrack you or derail you from fulfilling the will of God for your life, because that's where your blessing is going to be. That's where the peace is going to be. That's where your joy, your victory is going to come, because you're in the plan of God for your life. You know, when the Lord spoke to me some 26 years ago, when I was sitting at the original church down in the city of Darrell, even though this is Darrell here, and he spoke to my heart and he says, "This is where you need to be." I remember those words just like it was yesterday. And he's never turned his mind on that. And if he hasn't, I'm not, you know. And one thing I've learned to do is be content. And I mean by content, whatever God's called you to do, walk in that peace, you know, because you have a gift and a talent built on the inside of you for a special purpose. You're uniquely made by God and given special gifts and talents to minister to people in unique ways. And there are ways and there are things that you can, how you can minister to people that nobody else can, you know. So you know, don't be so concerned about trying to be like somebody else. Just be who you are in Christ and allow that gift, that talent to come out in full force in you. And then you really now be a blessing to other people in ways that you will not imagine, because what you're doing now is you're letting, the Bible said, Jesus says, I'm the potter and the potter and you're the clay. You're letting him mold you and shape you to his glory, that you now can be a vessel of honor and glory for his purpose. And that's what you want. You want to be a vessel of honor and glory. You don't want to be wood, hey, and you definitely don't want to be stubble, but you want to be a vessel of honor and glory for his purpose. Amen. How am I on my time? You know, there's nothing else that's going to fulfill your life more than being a vessel of honor and glory for his glory, for his pleasure. You know, like I said, this is not the end. It's just it's a new phase in your life in Christ. You know, these 2 years have been glorious, but the next years are going to be even more glorious. Stay connected to your ministers, to your pastors, or your spiritual fathers, and continue to work in the areas where God called you to. And the Bible says that promotion don't come from the east nor comes from the west, but promotion comes from God. You know, so when you and God's going to look for you at the last place he assigned you at. You know, so if you in Atlanta and God called you to be in Darrell, well, then you're going to miss your assignment. You know, if you take a job somewhere that you shouldn't be, God's going to look for you, but you're not going, well, he know you're not there, you know, but at the same time, somebody else going to fill your shoes and fulfill something that God really called you to do. There's a lot of people God called them on an assignment, but they went off on a tangent, and God basically had to find somebody else to do what he called them to do. Don't let that be you. Amen. It's been a blessing and a privilege again. You guys be blessed. And congratulations. Amen.